Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020, coming to you from my home studio. And we start on the front page, COVID-19, the local response. An alarming change, mayor to issue executive order on businesses mask wearing. This article is by Valerie Wells from Decatur. Macon County officials on Monday announced an alarming change in the rate of COVID-19, and Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said she is planning to issue an executive order cracking down on the wearing of masks. The numbers are going in the wrong direction, Moore Wolf said. Our businesses cannot go backwards. Many are just getting by now. Taking away for restaurants to serve indoors or shutting down our bars and the non-essential businesses could very well put them out of business. That's not good for them or us. I am imploring our businesses to require masks, and I'm begging our citizens to wear them. Governor J.B. Pritzker was in Quincy earlier in the day, she said, and told the city to shut down and ticket any business not following the rules. She said she does not want to do likewise. I do not want us to become the mask patrol, but I'm telling you right now, we've got to get this under control, Moore Wolf said. I don't want to go to the liquor commissioner and tell him to start pulling liquor licenses, so let's not go there. However, she does plan to issue an executive order, most likely on Tuesday, giving the city the authority to pull liquor and business licenses from those businesses that are not enforcing the guidance to wear a mask. The order would be in effect at least for 2 weeks, until the next city council meeting, when the council would decide whether to keep the order in place or suspend it. Macon County has logged 62 new cases of COVID-19 since Friday, said Brandy Binkley, administrator of the Macon County Health Department, which is 379 cases and a 2.69% positivity rate. Many, if not all of these cases have contacts that have been around, and they are also at risk of spreading COVID-19 around our community and far beyond, Binkley said. The rate on June 26th was 3.1%, and that had fallen to 2.4% until this recent surge, said Binkley. There have been 14,083 tests performed in Macon County. While the rise in percentage may not sound significant, the speed it rose is what alarms her, she said, and many of the new cases are younger people. If the numbers continue to rise at that rate, she said, there's a chance the region could be forced to return to Phase 3 in the Restore Illinois plan. The region is currently in Phase 4. She asked that citizens be a hero, and even though Phase 4 allows gatherings of 50 people, to ask themselves whether it's a good idea, and if they do attend gatherings, to wear masks and keep their social distance. Pulling business licenses is a last resort, Moore Wolf said, and is not a road she wants to go down, but she also doesn't want the state to step in and for the region to be returned to Phase 3. While the city did consider penalties for people not wearing masks at one time, they pulled back from that due to the community's outrage at the idea. It's possible we may look at that again, she said, to keep within the guidelines. She said patrons of bars and restaurants may sit in groups up to 10 and may have masks off to eat and drink. If someone leaves the table, that person is to put their mask on first. Servers must wear masks at all times. Stores and other businesses must require customers to wear masks, and employees must wear masks. Macon County Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield said he knows wearing a mask is unpleasant. I know it's a pain, he said. In April, I got a call from the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, and they told me to have 4 refrigerated trailers on hand to use as temporary morgues, and it scared the hell out of me. I don't want to be standing there and see a Macon County person loaded into a refrigerated trailer, Please be courteous to other people and just wear the damn mask. Local restaurant owners had mixed reactions to the Moore Wolf planned executive order. While all of those contacted Monday understood their responsibility in helping to control its spread, they are concerned they are being singled out. I think it's easy to point fingers at us, but, you know, if we have to do our little part to prove we're trying harder than other people, then that's fine with us, said Craig Woody Wilson, owner of BC Wings, Woody's Bar and Sliders Bar and Grill. I think so many people are doing their part, and it kind of stings to be lumped into a group. I think my people are doing a fantastic job and the best they can. Joshua James, owner of the Wharf, agreed. We're doing the best we can with it, he said. I know it's an ever-changing battle right now, and we've had multiple curveballs this year. So we keep moving forward and do the best with what's given to us. The staff at Coney McCain started wearing masks at the outset of the pandemic. We all need to wear our masks to get rid of this, said owner Leah Stukens. We want to do our part to stop the spread of this so we can get back to some normalcy in the foreseeable future. Business organizations spoke out Monday in broad support of city officials doing whatever they can to control the spread of the virus, even as their member businesses fight to survive. Both the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Metro Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce voiced their backing. Tony Wilkins, president of the Metro Decatur Black Chamber, said his 50-strong membership was in favor of the city using its licensing power to keep everyone healthy. I mean, we're in support of businesses, but we're also in support of safety, said Wilkins. And you can't spend your money if you are not alive or if you are in the hospital. Wilkins has watched with alarm the huge virus spike seen in other states like Arizona and Florida, and credits Illinois and Governor J.B. Pritzker with a more restrictive approach that has kept the disease in check. I think when you look at cases around the country and you look at Illinois, especially considering we have one of the largest cities in the country in Chicago, and we're not doing bad, he added. We're not doing great, but we're certainly not doing bad. Miranda Rothrock, president of the Decatur Regional Chamber, said, "Our local businesses are the backbone of the community. There is an undeniable increase in positive COVID cases, and without taking appropriate measures, there may be more. We want to set priorities and manage the ongoing crisis. If we determine following the guidelines is a priority now, we may avoid a resurgence later. We need to ensure our businesses stay open and continue to serve and support our community." Wilkins said struggling to contain the virus and living restricted lives will be the new normal for all businesses and their customers and employees until a vaccine is developed or better treatment comes along. The bottom line, however, is that he expects business failures to continue as owners struggle to keep going amid shutdowns and dwindling customer numbers. It's almost impossible for some small businesses to survive this, especially minority businesses that had financial issues already, added Wilkins. And all those businesses that weren't able to get the payroll protections from the federal government, they just won't be able to recover. And a sidebar here. Let's see. Well, it's just all of the area counties. There are so many of them to list, and the number of cases in each. But let's go back to the, there's a main photo here. Manager Teddy Albright brings out an order for pickup on Monday at Coney McCain's in Decatur. A sign on the door highlights the requirement that customers wear masks while in the building and not at their table. Amid the spike in local coronavirus cases, businesses that fail to enforce precautions could have their liquor licenses pulled by the city of Decatur. College athletics. Millikan's conference postpones all fall sports. CCIW scrubs 9 seasons, including football and soccer. This article is by Matthew Flayton from Naperville. Fall sports at Millikan and across the College Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin will have to wait. the CCIW announced that fall sports, including football, men's and women's cross country, men's and women's soccer, women's golf, women's tennis, triathlon, and women's volleyball, have been postponed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a press release. The decision was unanimous by the CCIW Council of Presidents. Milliken will suspend competition in all fall conference sports and men's golf and men's tennis. While men's golf and men's tennis hold competitions in the fall, their conference competition and championships are traditionally in the spring. What the season will look like for the Big Blue women's triathlon team is still being evaluated. Women's triathlon is an NCAA emerging sport and is not sponsored by the CCIW. While I wish we could provide a return to competition for all of our student athletes, the responsible choice and the unanimous recommendation from all of the CCIW presidents is that we postpone our fall sports until the spring semester, said Milliken President Jim Reynolds in a statement. This was a difficult decision, but in the interests of public health and safety, a necessary one. According to the Division III Management Council, has recommended to NCAA Board of Governors that they cancel all Division III fall championships, but the CCIW Council of Presidents has charged conference staff with exploring competition opportunities for cross-country football, soccer, and volleyball in the spring, while maintaining conference competition for all spring sports, including golf and tennis. No decision on a start date for winter sports has been made. While this is not the decision we had hoped for heading into the fall season, it reflects the most recent guidance from the NCAA, public health agencies, and campus and community leaders from across the conference, said Milliken University Director of Athletics Craig White in a statement. The health and safety of our student athletes is our number one priority, White adds. We continue to explore all options that will allow athletes to safely experience being part of a Big Blue team while continuing to get better, stronger, and faster for future competition. At this point, we don't know when the season will start. Other than our expectation, our expectation is that most schools don't start their spring semester until the end of January. Then a couple of weeks to get ready, and so I expect to start playing in March. While Milliken athletes will not report to campus for the start of practice this fall, Milliken head football coach Dan Gritty feels fall practice will be more intense than typical spring practice. Under the NCAA rules, we will be able to practice in the fall and more vigorously than we normally do in the spring setting, he said. We will be able to get them out there and keep them in shape and work them hard and put in our schemes and come back when spring semester starts and use that as the nature of preparation from a game planning standpoint for the season. Milliken sophomore quarterback and Monticello graduate Braden Snyder is disappointed by the decision but feels that it is for the best. I think it is probably the safest route possible to keep everyone healthy, he said. You could see it coming with the conferences out east in Division III were canceling and it was making its way over. As long as everyone stays safe and healthy, it was probably the best decision. Snyder is looking forward to spending more time with Milliken's new offensive coordinator, Luke Bengston. We don't know much as of right now, but we expect to have practice and lifting workouts this fall. We have a new offensive coordinator, and it will be nice to have more time with him, and getting familiar with the offense will be nice for us as a team. Ultimately, I think it will help us getting more time together, Snyder said. The delay in the season will allow new football players a smoother transition to college life, Gritty said. A huge positive is that players will come on campus and get to acclimate both academically, socially, and athletically, and then go play their season. It won't be as much for the athletes, Gritty said. Freshmen would typically report August 8th and hit the ground running, and your classes would start when football was in full swing. This way, they get to acclimate themselves to college life and understand what is going on and getting into shape before they have to worry about playing games. Student athletes will follow the university's return to campus guidelines that will be distributed in early August. All CCIW members are committed to in-person learning on their campuses this fall, and if health and safety guidelines allow, will look to provide skill development and conditioning opportunities for all student athletes on campus. Gritty and his staff will turn their attention to recruiting because the spring season will now take up time earmarked for recruitment. From the staff standpoint, we are going to hit the recruiting trail as hard as you can do without going in and seeing people practice, he said. We are on the phones with people 5 days a week trying to start the recruiting process because that recruiting time will now be taken up with the season. We wanted to get a head start on that and put together a solid plan for fall practice. Winter and spring sport teams are expected to operate on a normal practice schedule, including fall practice sessions in baseball and softball. The Midwest Conference, a Division III conference that includes Monmouth College, Illinois College, and Knox College, has suspended league competition through December 31st. We did everything we could over the past couple of months to develop schedules, event management protocols, and testing policies so that we could compete this fall, said MWC Executive Director Heather Benning in a statement. However, due to the recent sustained surge of cases across the country and a lack of guaranteed access to timely and reliable testing with the frequency recommended by the NCAA, the conference does not feel it is in a position to sponsor intercollegiate athletic competition at this time. And the main photo of the article is of Milliken's big blue logo on the football field. It's taken from behind it, so it's upside down. The College Conference of Illinois in Wisconsin, the Athletics Conference of the Milliken University, of which Milliken University is a member, has announced the postponement of fall competition as a result of COVID-19. Okay, on to our next article. We move on to page A3, local and state. Central A&M suspends activities. Extracurriculars on hold indefinitely after a positive test. H&R News Services, Moequa. All extracurricular activities in the Central A&M School District are being suspended until further notice after an involved student tested positive for coronavirus. We are working closely with Shelby County Public Health Department for identifying further possible cases, Superintendent Deanne Heck said in a message posted on the district's website. Those with questions were directed to contact their child's coach or high school principal, Charles Brown. The announcement came the same day Shelby County health officials announced 6 new cases of coronavirus, ranging in age from 14 to 84. All are recovering in home isolation. In neighboring Moultrie County, health officials also announced 6 new cases involving people in the same age range. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Monday announced 1,231 new confirmed cases of coronavirus in Illinois, including 18 additional confirmed deaths. That brings the total to 172,655 cases, including 7,416 deaths. Illinois' 7-day rolling positivity rate for COVID-19 tests continued to rise through the weekend, reaching 3.8%, more than a full percentage point higher than it was at the beginning of this month. The positivity rate for tests completed has increased for 7 of the past 8 days, ticking upward from 2.9% on July 19th. It's the highest the rolling positivity rate has been since it was 4.2% on June 11th. During a stop Monday in Rock Island, Governor J.B. Pritzker urged people to wear masks, stressing the importance they play in slowing the spread of COVID-19. I wanted to come here today to discuss the very thing that has kept us apart for so long, Pritzker said. That's, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic, which continues to spread and remains part of our lives and will for some time to come. As much as we would like to, it's not something we can just wish away. Pritzker called on the public to act responsibly and collectively to protect the people we love by wearing face masks. We have to make sure people get the message that wearing a mask, let me just say it over and over again, you're 80% less likely to get COVID-19 if you wear a mask. If I told you that you could take a pill that would have no negative effects on your health and would protect you by 80% against this virus, if you could reduce the risk, would you take the pill? Why not wear the mask? Pritzker issued an executive order effective May 1st requiring anyone over age 2 to wear a face covering inside all businesses, workplaces, and when outdoors in public spaces where social distancing cannot be maintained. He called for a national mask mandate July 8th and asked the federal government to issue a national containment strategy as the number of coronavirus cases continues to climb. And there is a photo here. Governor J.B. Pritzker speaks during the Rock Island County Health Department's COVID-19 briefing Monday in Rock Island. Courts: man gets 10 years in child porn case, JGTC Urbana. A Mattoon man described by federal prosecutors as an avid collector of extremely violent child pornography was sentenced on Monday to 10 years in federal prison. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of Illinois reported in a press release that Senior U.S. District Judge Michael Mim further ordered that Tyler L. Foote, 29, of Mattoon, remain on supervised release for a period of 10 years following completion of his prison sentence. In court filings, the government represented that Foote is a collector of extremely violent child abuse images. These image and video files reportedly include acts of sexual violence against minor children, including infants, bestiality, bondage, and urination. On December 20th, Foote entered open pleas of guilty to 5 counts of trafficking child pornography. Foote was arrested on August 16th on Coles County state charges and was indicted by a federal grand jury in October. The case was prosecuted by U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney Ellie Pearson and Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Shannon O'Brien of the Illinois Attorney General's Office. The charges were investigated by the Illinois Attorney General's Office, Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and the Mattoon Police Department. The case was brought as a part of Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide initiative by the U.S. Department of Justice to combat child sexual exploitation and abuse. For more information about Project Safe Childhood, visit www.projectsafechildhood.gov. Police sleepy driver faces charges, Tony Reed, Decatur. A sworn affidavit said a driver found slumped behind the wheel in Decatur was so under the influence of drugs she attempted to go back to sleep even while a police officer was trying to wake her up. The affidavit said the Decatur Police Patrol had found the 21-year-old parked in the 2300 block of North Edward Street near Decatur Memorial Hospital just after 3 a.m. Saturday after receiving check the welfare calls. Both the woman from Saybrook and her 19-year-old boyfriend were described as passed out. Officer Nicholas Arrett said the woman assured him she had not been drinking, but then admitted to consuming more than half of a Xanax bar, a street name used for parceling out the prescription drug by illegal users. Arrett said the woman did not have a prescription for the drug, and after she finally woke up, she proceeded to fail balance and other field sobriety tests and couldn't follow simple instructions. She was then asked if she had any contraband on her person, said Arrett. She advised she had Xanax in her bra. Arrett said both baggies contained more than 16 whole and broken Xanax and clonazepam pills, another prescription drug. Arrett said he stopped questioning her about the drugs after she requested an attorney. She was booked on preliminary charges of possession of a controlled substance and driving under the influence of an intoxicating compound. A check of Macon County jail records showed he remained in custody Monday in lieu of making bail set at $9,400, which means she must post $940 to be released. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. It's a beautiful picture of a field, and above it some wind turbines, and behind it dark storm clouds mixed in with white and blue sky. Beautiful photo. Storm clouds approach. Storm clouds roll past the wind turbines from the Radford's Run Wind Farm on Monday near Forsyth. Clinton schools offer choice. Parents can opt for live instruction or remote learning. Lenore Sabota, Clinton. Daily temperature checks, an earlier end to the school day, face masks, and a choice between in-person or remote learning are among the differences students in Clinton Unit 15 School District will see when school resumes. Online registration is underway for Clinton students, and in-school registration will take place on August 6th. Parents will need to choose between in-person or remote learning, according to documents the district distributed Monday and posted on its website. The district said online registration is the preferred method. For those who want to register in person, that can be done from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. at Lincoln Elementary School, 407 South Jackson Street, Douglas Elementary School, 905 East Main Street, Clinton Elementary School, 680 Illini Drive, Clinton Junior High School, 701 Illini Drive, and Clinton High School, 1200 State Route 54 West. As directed by the state, face coverings will be required with some exceptions, and social distancing measures will be followed, including limits of no more than 50 people in one space, including buses. School start times will remain the same, but the school day will end at 1:30 p.m. That may change depending on state directives. The district's reopening plan was put together with help from a 35-member opening strategy team that considered directives and suggestions from the Illinois State Board of Education, Illinois Department of Public Health, the Governor's Office, DeWitt and Piatt Bi-County Health Department, and surveys of parents and staff. The hope is that it can be amended with fewer restrictions as health trends move in a positive direction, the district said in a statement on its website. The district will become less restrictive as the state becomes less restrictive. The district will become more restrictive as the state becomes more restrictive. The district plans to limit hallway traffic, locker use, and student movement from room to room as much as possible. School personnel will check students' temperatures when they arrive at school each day. In addition, parents will be expected to check for symptoms and other than fever and keep children home who are experiencing symptoms such as cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing, headache, or sore throat. Well, a few stories that we've read, but they were long stories, so that brings us to the end of the first half hour. Please stay tuned as we return after a break for the second part of the Decatur Herald interview for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020.